Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Betfair's Racing Only Better podcast. Of course, this is your day three Cheltenham Festival preview show. I had to have a little think there. All the days get so merged at this point, but we are looking ahead at day three. So by the time you'll be listening to this, we'll hopefully be halfway through an excellent Cheltenham Festival. We've got plenty to get through today, and we're doing it in the company, as always, of Kevin Blake, Tony Calvin, and Daryl Carter. Before we go any further, don't forget free bet on horse racing multiples every day of the Cheltenham Festival. Also, check your carousel for various different offers that will be available to you, courtesy of Betfair. But please, as always, do it responsibly, do it carefully, have fun with it, read the T's and C's, and opt in. You know those are the rules. So let's kick straight on, shall we? I am not even going to introduce the boys because you know them by now. We don't need to do that bit. So we will start with the Turners. And I'm going to start with you, Daryl, straight in.
Ooh.
2 miles, 4 furlongs, Novices Chase, Fast Alvega, 9-4, Grey Dawning, 5-2, Ginny's Destiny, 7-2, Iroko, 5-1. Those are the four talking horses in here. Belter of a race. Really looking forward to this, given what Gaelic Warrior did in the Arkle. I'm intrigued to see if they can turn the ship around with Fast Alvega as well.
Nah, he don't jump well enough, does he? He's not a chase. He's not a natural chaser to my eye. I don't think. I know the step up and trip will suit him, but to me, he's too vulnerable at fences. I'd fancy Grey Dawning for this quite strongly. Now the ground's come in his favour over this distance. Like I mentioned on the preview, I think it'd be a good thing for the Betfair Chase next year, and then going on to a Gold Cup campaign. I think that highly of him. I think he's very, very smart. He should have beat Ginny's Destiny here in December, when obviously clattering the second last. But he's a sound jumper. Other than that, this track will definitely suit him rather than the old course with the sharp old course round for the second last, where it's a bit tricky. Long run from the second to the last flight here. I think he's a good bet. I'll probably just have a slight stake saver on Iroko, who I think is a little bit of an unknown, a bit of a danger. I'll probably just have a stake saver there, but I quite fancy Grey Dawning for this. Hopefully, Factor File wins on the second day, and we'll be going 4 for 4 in the novice chases.
Love it, love it. TC, you next, please. This has to make for an interesting betting race in terms of the prices, given the question marks in regards to the favourite.
Yeah, we should mention the going. They've switched. We're doing this at 7:15 on Wednesday morning. They've switched the going back to soft, heavy in places, which is quite controversial given a going stick reading of 3.7. And we should say it's a dry Wednesday in store, but there's 3 mil forecast throughout Thursday. So not drying conditions. I thought this was a really tricky race. Again, I've done all my headgear stats and pace stats on my betting.betfair column, so check that out. Won't bore you with it ad infinitum here. I thought it was a tricky race. I was angling to get with Fasol Vega, but the sports book are ducking him at 9-4. I think they're probably right too, because yeah, just watching the racing on Tuesday, just Mullins, even when he doesn't win, they just up the arse of the winner, aren't they? They're just unbelievable. And I think the step up in trip will suit. He's got the deep ground form, and he's got the Cheltenham form as well. So, but obviously I wouldn't go near him at 9-4, but it's 11-4 in the wider marketplace. And I think that's probably a fair price, but not
Okay.
betting and not tipping at the moment.
Okay. Kev, let's move on to the Potemps then. Next race, and it's the first of our extra place races. You're getting 6 places on the Potemps final. Clatous Calore is your 13-2 market leader here, but that really could change. And as with this race every year, I mean, make a case for anything you like. Make your case, Kevin.
Yeah, look, it is fiercely competitive. Like Gabby's Cross is one that I've come to in the last couple of weeks. I think the ground will be no problem. The form reads well, really nice preparation. Could definitely make a case for him. Le Milos has been the beneficiary of the old Dan Skelton handicapper leniency. Like just incredible. To get dropped 4 pounds for that run last time. But as we've mentioned a few times through the season, this isn't unusual or strange. It's just yeah, a little bit bizarre. But look at the one I've been with from a while back is Gwae Cool for Ted Walsh. She is very much bred for stamina. So it isn't a shock that she's improved since she's gone up to 3 miles. She won at Leopardstown and then went back to the Dublin Racing Festival and was beaten, but like charted a really wide course that day. They ride her with lots of confidence, but it was probably a little bit overdone. And I just wouldn't be surprised at all. She was already qualified for the final, and I don't think winning was everything that day. For all, it was a very big pot, and I'm sure she'll be absolutely revved to the nines for this. And I think she's got a really good chance. So don't not worried about the ground. More scope to improve over this trip, and a competitive race with a couple of sneaky ones in against her. But Gway Cool will do for me.
Okay, very cool then for Kev, and a mention for Gabby's Cross as well, who's been mentioned by a few people. The Irish have a good handle on this, but is it a handicap we can keep at home, Daryl?
I'm not sure. I was on Chantry House earlier in the season. I was quite keen on him all the way up until we've
Oh.
seen the rain this week. And I'm a little bit concerned there. So I'm going to swerve him for now. Farouk Dalin is the horse I want to be with. Gordon Elliott's got a really good record, as you'd expect in this race. He's 9 pounds better off with Gway Cool for that run at Leopardstown last time. Comes here fresh. Gordon Elliott's had three winners. He's ran 19 since 2017, had three winners, and nine others have finished at least fifth. You're getting sixth place on the sports book here. This is the biggest price that Farouk Dalin's ever been in his life, and he's contested two grade ones, one of which was at this festival in 2022 in a brown advisory when still going well behind L'Empresse and coming down. He's very lightly raced. He actually beat Vanilliere, subsequent Albert Bartlett winner, a couple of years ago over hurdles. Obviously, he had his issues, but Rob James claimed seven off, and I'm not sure this is the deepest race in the world, and I think he can hit the frame for you at six. We're joint top price 16-1, so I think that's a fair price.
Yeah, currently 16s on the sports book, and of course paying that extra place, six places in the potential final. TC, is it the place market you're looking at?
I'm going to utilise the six places for sure.
Nice.
I was looking to get with Mill Green, obviously second of the last third in the last two runnings, but after Tuesday, you just cannot go near this Henderson Yard at the moment. I played a couple on Wednesday, and I'm just trying to backtrack out of them on the exchange at the moment. But Kevin's already touched upon it. I just cannot believe the handicapping of Le Milos. I mean, Skelton gets a fair whack from the BHA. I think that might change after reading Monday's ruling about George Gently, but. I just can't understand how the handicap has dropped this horse 4 pounds for wasn't an overly busy run at Ascot last time over a totally inadequate 2 mile free with an inexperienced pilot on board. So I bet they just couldn't believe their luck to get dropped to a mark of 142. Obviously, he was
Well, they
154.
probably could believe their luck because it's happened a few times before.
I know, but I mean, you just look at that run and you look at the trip. And it just says tee up job. Now, he qualified for this race by finishing third in a five runner market raising race. So it couldn't have worked out even better there. He's running off a mark of 142. He was 152 after winning the old Hennessy. The ground won't be a problem. Step up in trip is a positive. The 16s and the 14s of the marketplace went on Tuesday, but I still think the 11s with the six places each way is very fair because, like I said, being absolutely given a huge chance by the handicapper.
Just not fair,
Okay.
Tony, is it? Just not fair.
I don't think
It's
he
just
stays, does he? Eh?
Kevin, you're not allowed to talk to us about fairness after Lark in the morning. So
Yeah,
let's move on, shall we?
you
Right,
put us
come on.
away there.
Yeah, get in the bin,
it,
Kevin Blake. Get in the bin. Right,
it,
on the Ryanair we go, Kevin. I'm gonna start with you here, please, because this is an absolute belter of a race. So looking forward to this. Stage Star is 7-2 at the top of the market, but we should timestamp this that we are recording this Wednesday morning, and this may well change ground, but mainly for Banbridge. We've got Envoy Allen next best 4-1, 9-2 Banbridge, Capodanno in there at 13s, Conflated, A Horse in Your Protectorate, Your Door. I mean, so far down you can make cases for these horses, but Kev, over to you because it's surely unlikely we're going to see Banbridge here. I know it's not your decision, but surely.
But look, I had a good chat about it yesterday now, and like he wants to run him. He wants to run him. It's on the new track. We're mostly dry between now and then. We got a very stark illustration of it yesterday with Lark in the Morning that, like everyone was very adamant that horse wouldn't like the ground, and what happened happened. So I'd more hopeful that he'll turn up now. Just speaking to him yesterday, we'll walk the track on Thursday morning to make a decision. And look, I know it's tedious for everyone, but it's all with the best of intentions. But I'd be more after, after the rain came yesterday. Obviously, you're thinking no chance, but I'd say they'll be more inclined to take a chance than they were last year with him. So I'd be making more positive noises. But look, you know yourself. We'll try and make a decision as early as we can on Thursday. But I'd say it'd be more hopeful than it would have been this time yesterday. And
Okay, and
look, it goes
if
without saying. Like I think he's got a, the ground won't be ideal, but like I think he's got a super chance. You'd be very afraid of Envoy Allan, obviously. But look, I do think he's a better horse than he was last season. I think there's potentially more to come. I think everything about this test will suit him. You just love the ground to be a little bit less testing, but we'll see where we end up. But I'd make him a shade of odds on the run now, which I didn't think I'd be saying yesterday.
Wow. Okay, that is interesting. So competitive, TC. Who did you land on in here?
A long-term fancy's been Field Door, but obviously because that's really strong 2 mile form against the likes of Dino Blue and El Fabiolo. But I've gone off him because of the trip and the ground combination. Because the only two times he's run over more than 2 mile one, he was, I think, his last of six, and he got beaten about 70 odd lengths in the Coral Cup. So I've gone off him, and I've jumped shift to Conflated. Obviously, Gordon Elliott's got his ways running here instead of the cross country. And I just think he's probably only on his best form. He's probably the best horse in the race. I think obviously it ran a stormer in the ran a stormer in the Gold Cup last year, a trip that stretches his stamina. arguably gonna finish second in this race to Alaho. And I just think, I just think he's probably the best horse in the race. He's edging towards 8 to 1 on the exchange. He's 13 to 2 if you want to back him each way. Yeah, Conflated for me.
Okay, perfect. What about you, Daryl? Are we underestimating, ignoring, not giving due consideration to Stage Star? He's the market leader after all.
Yeah, probably a little bit, but he did dictate that turn as last year. He's definitely not going to be able to do that in here this year. So there's going to be a lot more pace pressure up front for him. But look, we know Paul will have him absolutely firing for this. He's coming off a bit of a break. He admitted what he did on trials day, perhaps didn't suit the horse on the deep ground. Yeah, look, he's definitely got a chance for sure. I wouldn't be writing him off quite so easily. Look, Banbridge is a pain in the ass being in here, really, Kev. Do you know
No,
what
I get it. I understand, yeah.
I mean? Because obviously, he's a young progressive horse. He fits plenty of the stats. The ground's just a question mark for him. I suspect you'll probably look at the first race or two and then make the decision then. But for now, I'll be with Envoy Allan, but I'll update in the column. I just thought Envoy Allan won this race with plenty in hand last year. Obviously, got a great festival record, and the rumours are that he's flying at home. So it's all nice to hear.
Yeah, and Henry de Bromhead obviously kicked off day one in fine
Yeah.
style. Daryl, let's stick with you then as we move on to the Stayers. This is an extra place race as well. Four places in the Stayers hurdle, sort of second feature race of day three. And again, along like sort of same rules applies to the Ryanair. So many cases to be made for horses in here. Tiupu 7 to 4 has been the market leader for a long time, but Crambo, Noble Yates, Sir Gerhard, Flooring Porter, Home by the Lee, Paisley Park, Buddy One, Sire de Burley, last year's winner. I mean, another sort of mad race with a strong favourite up at the top.
Yeah, well, like last year, like not to sort of, well, it's not half the time, but last year I put up Sire de Burley to win this race at 100 to 1, and it was
Love it.
because I didn't think that there was any young progressive improver in it, and I was not overly convinced by Tipu's stamina. Since I've watched that race, obviously, I've struggled to get on side with Tipu ever since. Now I know he's a massive fan favorite, and loads of people think he's an absolute good thing for this, but. I did all of his sectionals, and he travels so well, and then he just didn't put that final sectional in that suggests that he's a real dour stayer over 3 miles for me. Like if you go back and watch last year's race, like Flooring Porter and Dashiell Thrasher did so much early on that it should have really set it up for him. Yet he wasn't coming home any quicker than Sire de Burley, and he was only coming home as quick as Flooring Porter was. I think Crambo is a cracking each way better at 5-1. Look, you got four places, I think, haven't we, on the sports book?
Yeah.
5-1, four places for a young progressive horse. Fergal O'Brien's got two decent chances on the Thursday. I don't think he's got a chance in the mare's hurdle, but I think he's got a cracking chance here with this lad. This is a horse that's improved from clock from doing an RPR of 139 on his seasonal return at Aintree to winning a Grade One at Ascot last time in the quick succession. There's so much more to come from him. He's going to be ridden fairly handily, I would have thought. And it would take a real good one to go part come from behind him and go past him, because he is a really dour stayer, and I think he's the horse
Okay.
that's sort of coming of age.
Yeah, I think what a lot of people seem to be saying about Crambo is like, oh, I want to see him do it again. But we haven't seen, it's not like he's flopped since we last saw him. He just hasn't been on the race course since. But a lot of people seem to sort of put that up as an angle against him. But I don't really see that. Kev, I am very intrigued, as we always consistently are, by Noble Yates. Emma Mullins has put the cheap pieces on. The sort of, I don't know, is he an enigma? I don't really know, but I am intrigued by him in this race. I'm tempted by him. Am I mad?
I think his trainer is more of an enigma than the horse.
Yeah, that'd be fair. That would be fair.
Look out, you couldn't put you off. You know, the ability is there. You know, conditions are going to be fine, you'd think. But look, my view on this is much the same as it's been for a couple of months. If you prefer playing at the front end of the market, I think Tiapu is rock solid. Being trained for the race, you know, a little bit unlucky in it last year. Still young, still potential for improvement. Wouldn't put anyone off him. But look, if I've been putting up home by the leaf and turf the trees down since Christmas, and I'm going to stick with him, the blinkers are going on, which I'm really happy with. I think it's definitely the right time to do it. He's looked a headgear horse for a long time, but he just threw us a bit of a googly, as he has many times in the past. But when he ran badly in cheek pieces a little while back, but I think they'll be to his benefit here. The rain's no issue at all. You know, only beaten 3¾ in the race last year after a shocking mistake at the sixth, uncharacteristic mistake. And the lads seem really, really happy with him. So hopefully he's primed to run a big race.
Okay, home by the lead then for Kev. TC, over to you here.
Yeah, I'm going two-handed, taking advantage of the four plays from the sports book. If you take age out of the equation, then Paisley Park and Dashiell Dasher are just wildly overpriced against all the other horses they've been running against. Now, we all know Paisley Park, former winner of the race. You know his body of work here. You know he'd go in the ground. He's only been beaten in a photo in all three starts this season. He's 14s and 16s in places against horses that are a third of his price, and he's only been a And that's, I won't say it. He's only been just marginally beaten by those. So purely from a price perspective, Paisley Park's the wrong price, as was Dazzle Drasher yesterday. The 33s has become 22s with the sports book. But again, he finished a short head in front of Tiapu last year. He's got a brilliant record at Cheltenham. He'll love the ground. He will have competition for the lead, obviously. But, you know, he's been running really well as well in defeat. So I just thought, you know, they might find a Tiapu too good, but with the four places, I'm expecting a big place run at the very least from both. So I just think
Okay.
the current prices of 14s and 22s is still fair.
Okay, TT, let's stick with you for the plate, please. Another of our extra place races, five places in the plate up for grabs, 21 runners. So you'd be hopeful of finding something to hit the board. Crabilly is the market leader currently, Theatre Man next best, same for Lycia, and those are your top three. I'm not going to go through them all, but what's your selection or darts at the board, TC?
I was very surprised when I did this race yesterday that I didn't really fancy anything. In fact, I only fancied one
Right.
horse. Unfortunately, the fives has become fours, but I thought, but he is 5.9 on the exchange. I think Theatre Man is glaringly obvious. Now, he has come down massively in the price in the last week or so, because it seems like everyone's been putting him up. But I'd have him favourite over Cribbily. I know he's been beaten three times this season and gone up £5 for it, but I just think these are ideal conditions. And like I said, it's the race hasn't filled. He just looks. Honestly, I don't like I say I don't play at these kind of prices, especially in big field handicaps. But I literally didn't fancy anything else apart from Theatre Man. So
okay.
I backed him fives each way, four places, and I think there's a fair case for backing him fours with their five places as well, because I'd be very, very surprised if he's get kicked out the first four, five.
All right. Confident. Well, a bit of confidence behind Theatre Man then, just Tim about the price being a fraction short. Daryl, your view on the plate at this stage?
Very similar to Tony. Top two in the market with the two that I liked, but I went in favour of Cribilli. I just on a times basis, and yeah, I think they're two horses to sort of keep on side, really. Cribilli, I like the form line with Ginny's Destiny, Grey Dawlin. I'm following that through the week, so yeah, Cribilli for me.
Okay, on we go then to the mare's novices hurdle, Grade Two, and this is the sort of, I don't know if it's a smash up, but it's like the hype horse of brighter days ahead. It's 11-8 top of the market. Gordon Elliott, the Gordon glint, as Kevin has been flagging up for this horse for quite some time now, in fairness to him, a long time before the sort of preview circuit got on the Gordon glint with brighter days ahead. And she is taking on Jade DeGruzzi, who's 2-1. They are taking on the unbeaten at Dysart Enos at 4-1 for Fergal. Bigger prices after that, Daryl. I'll start with you here. Does the sort of Are these the right prices, actually? 11-8, Brighter Days Ahead, 2-1, Jade DeGruzzi.
No, Brighter Days Ahead should be shorter.
Woo!
Yeah, no, shit, like, I've kept my opinion on this race very, like, minimal until I've gone back and done everything. And I went back and was going over what Brighter Days Ahead did, on particularly on, you know, I follow the clock a lot. Like, her Down Royal win was really, really exceptional on the clock. She was 18 and a half lengths quicker than Irish Point when Irish Point was beating Henry de Bromhead's horse. And Irish Point this week has obviously finished second in the champion hurdle. Irish Point had two more hurdles omitted in that race as well. And she was 33 lengths quicker than Firefox's Bumper at Down Royal as well. And obviously, thank Firefox you. Has come out and run third in the Supreme. Yeah. So for me, I think she's got all the ability in the world, really. She's got conditions in her favour. The new track will suit her. Yeah, I think she'll be a strong bet for me in this.
Okay, strong view for Brighter Days Ahead then. What about you, TC, with these mares? Is there something away from her, a different way to play this, away even from the top two?
Well, obviously, Dysart Enos would probably be in every feel free each way multiple going at 4-1. And you have to respect her. Bumper form is excellent.
Filthy.
She's been kind of like being, you know, prepped not to pick up a penalty. So I respect Dysart Enos, but I suspect the first two in the market are very, very good. And you might just be playing for a small loss on the place with Dysart Enos. Won't be having a bet in the race.
Okay. Will you be having a bet, TC? In the Kim Muir, please. Another race. That
hold on. I'll go in the mares there, Vanessa.
Oh, I thought you said you wanted out, but okay.
No, you got the other one.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'd be a bit. I'd say the Dysart Enos team wouldn't have been loving the sight of the rain now. I don't think they'd be delighted with that. And look, I think the ground will be a help to Brighter Days Ahead. I think herself, Andrea DeGruz, will handle it fine. But it will, you'd imagine, just put more emphasis on stamina, which is going to help Brighter Days Ahead because she does stay further. And I see Jade DeGruzzi as kind of a you know, 2 mile type, whereas Brighter Days Ahead will go up and trip in time. Look, I could see why people might have an issue with the separation and the price, but yeah, I remain pretty sweet on Brighter Days Ahead. It's not just the talk; it was the progression in her jumping last time. Like, she jumped like a champion hurdle mare last time. Which was great to see because she hadn't been as good as that the time before. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing it.
Okay. We're all looking forward to Brighter Days Ahead then. TC, I'll come back to you, please, for the Kim Muir to wrap up day three. This is another of the extra place races. You've got five places in the Kim Muir, and this has filled, so 24 amateurs at the start. Yeah. I know the way you're thinking is the horse who's got to the top of the market, the Gavin Cromwell, 7-2 currently, cool survivor in there, Angel's Dawn after that, Am I Right, Henry de Bromhead, Daily Present for Paul Nolan, that's been tipped up a few times as well. Lots of people sort of giving horses away from the favourite in this race because he is terribly short.
Yeah, I'm going two-handed. I think Bow to Greatness hopefully is coming to a crescendo now. short 40 shaped really well at Kempton. They had a lot of problems with him early in the season. So I think it's been a bit of a struggle for the trainer, but he shaped really well at Kempton last time. I didn't watch the race live, but when I went back and looked at it, I just thought he was winning two out, and he flattened out a bit before staying on a bit. I'm worried about the ground, but I'm going with him at a double figure price. But I think the glaring one for me was Wacker Clan. Had a recent spin over hurdles, but won here in October, beating the ultimate runner-up Twig by 3 lengths. He's only 6 pound higher. And immediately after the race, Henry de Bromhead name checked this race. He's got here just 6 pound higher with a recent run. And I don't know anything about the jockey other than what the stats tell me. But I prefer, I'm two against the field, but I prefer Wacker Clan.
Okay. And Daryl, anything for you in the Kimio?
I know the way you're thinking Gavin Cromwell. Yeah, just the company he's been mixing it with is just by and far miles better than what he's facing in this race. I think this race is full of exposed horses and a few that are not going to stay. Obviously, running up the backside of Gaelic Warrior twice this season. He's been ridden with handicaps in mind. I love the way he's just progressed with each one. I love the way he jumps, the amount of ground he gains from one side of a fence to another. I think he's a well-handicapped horse. I think they're thrilled that they've snuck in here of 145. So, yeah, he's for me.
Snuck in and a nice price, well, short enough price at the head of the market. Before we do naps, guys, that wraps up day three's run through. Need your naps, but don't forget to use Betfair's safer gambling tools, basically. I know I say it every show, but they're so easy to find and easy to apply on the Betfair website. Today's tool of the day is a gaming check. You can set up a timed reminder for a handy nudge to take a break when you've been playing online for a certain amount of time. So many people already use Betfair's safer gambling tools. And as I keep saying, we want you to have fun this week. We want you to enjoy it, but we want you to do it responsibly. And those gaming tools will help you do that. So why wouldn't you just go and check them out? Please do. Naps, guys. Naps, naps, naps. Kev, your nap, please.
Yeah, I'd have very little between Gway Cool and Home by the Lee, but I'm going to go marginally with Gway Cool.
Oh, okay. Thought you were going to go Home by the Lee then. Daryl, your nap?
Brighter days ahead in the Mayor's Novice.
Oh, yeah, strong view. TC,
up there, Glint.
No idea what you're going to go for here, TC.
I've had my biggest bet so far on the Milos.
Cheating the horse. I've been no conscience, Tony. Crime doesn't pay. Come on.
Yeah, I know. It should be like your boodle horse, the handicap.
Not what Kev was saying in the WhatsApp group last night. Let me tell you that.
A little wind up.
Yeah, like I said, it could be, but Fear to Man is the only horse I fancy in that race, but I always go with what I backed, and I've had my biggest bet so far of Thursday on Le Milos. So Le Milos is the selection in the second race.
Beautiful. Look, guys, thank you so much. As always, listeners, viewers out there, hope you're enjoying the week. Do get stuck in, but as I said, do it responsibly. Please check out your carousels for all the offers, various different offers up for grabs, but you need to opt in and do read the T's and C's before you do that. Have a good week, everyone. We'll be back with our day four preview, but for now, enjoy it. It's the Cheltenham Festival. Thank you so much for tuning in.